4. Ephesians 4. Sounds like they're going to have fun back there. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 11. Throughout the history of the church, this is kind of the order of certain people that God kind of gave to the church to help them along, help folks along. He gave some apostles, so those are all done, and some prophets, okay, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay, so that last one's that moi. Okay, verse 12 is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So if you take the first letter of each of those phrases, the P-W-E, but if you put the E in one, you got that's the pew. Pepe Le Pew. Okay, and so that's what the pew's for. So what's our purpose? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. Okay, verse 14 is what we're looking at this morning, is about the sleight of man, the cunning craftiness, every wind of doctrine. Another way of saying that is illusions in life. How do we overcome illusions in life? Not delusions. A delusion is challenging somebody's mental capacity. An illusion is we just got tricked. That's all that an illusion is. Nothing to deal with intelligence or anything. After salvation, after a person gets born again, unclean spirits work tirelessly to deceive and destroy that believer. They lost the soul when a person, you see, they were attempting to blind this individual to about Christ. And when this person did overcome that and believed in Jesus Christ, so they lost their soul, now he wants to ruin a life. And so they work constantly, continually, like flies and mosquitoes, to suck the blood out of you. Okay, the blood being the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, and so what we need to do, what Paul encourages, that we pray for each other, and that we are also, in verse 15, speak the truth in love, so we're patient with each other, because we all have been hoodwinked by illusions. We all have. Okay, in this age, deception and manipulation, okay, is rampant, and vigilance is vital in these days, especially. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we need to be vigilant. Okay, that's being observant. That's being not trusting people, not trusting ideas, or as far as the source of them. Okay, it's like a person says you're paranoid. If you're not paranoid, you don't know what's going on. And so I'm not worried about that, but still the idea of illusions. Discretion is what helps us. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 2, discretion is a good word. Depending upon your field of expertise, depending upon your occupation, you have discretion in that occupation that other people don't have. As you know, my wife and I kind of joke about her and cars. Now, her brother is a car and body man, and so he sees a 1964 Chevy. He can tell you that between a 64 and a 65, probably by the grill. But my wife is, what color is it? So the car we just I was thinking about getting a car similar to Lindsay's color car. It was her, and hers is a bigger one. Jan said, "Oh no, don't get that one. I'll get confused," just by the color of the car. And so that's kind of a joke with us. But if you get in music, she can spot that. And you get in like health things and alternative health and in herbs, and she can spot that. Okay, and so in Proverbs 2, it runs from verse 1 to 11 about gaining wisdom and knowledge. But in verse 11, it says, discretion shall preserve thee. Okay, understanding shall keep thee. Now, if you do anything with fruit and vegetables, and if you do buy fruit and vegetables like we do, that's kind of our mainstay, fruit and vegetables. But boy, how many times we're throwing it out. Why? Because we're not using discretion to preserve them properly. Some vegetables like this, some vegetables like that. It's a different way of preserving them. But my chickens usually get our vegetables, you know, that fruit and vegetables, always throwing them out. And a lot of that is because of the poor mineral makeup in the ground. And, you know, that's just where we're at in this age. In Proverbs chapter 3, he mentioned another idea. He says, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Okay, so the idea is learning discretion, being very precise, very detailed. It's like if you're going to send an email, you make sure you got all the letters, all the symbols, everything right. Your sincerity will not affect it. You got to get it right. If you don't get everything right, it's not going to the right place. It's like mixing paint. You want to make sure you put the exact amount to get the right color of paint. So it's been very precise. Now, if you would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This topic is dealing with the very first deception that occurred in life. This would be Adam and Eve. Okay, and this is where the first deception, and basically what we're getting here is the first line of defense against deception. Deception regarding the Bible, in my mind, is one of the easiest things to overcome. But of course, that's kind of the specialty of the field I'm in. And so I could spot a liar real quick, just as far as how, actually, sometimes by the fluctuation of their voice, I can spot it. And it says in 1 John 4, it says, hereby know we the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Now, he didn't say we know truth and error. He said the spirit behind it, the attitude behind it. And there is an attitude. If you can spot the attitude, you've got the action all figured out. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11, this is with Adam and Eve, and Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was deceived. And so if you go back there, you discover what caused her deception is someone, either her or Satan, added, subtracted, or changed a word or words of what God said. So that's our first line of defense. They added, subtracted, or changed. In other words, she took the words out of his mouth, the common saying, when the mean as a snake showed up to deceive her. And then God heard through the grapevine that they had taken some fruit. And that grapevine most likely would have been the fruit that Eve ate. Okay, beside the point. So Eve was deceived, but there was something else going on, and it's a form of deception that Satan will use. In 2 Corinthians 11, 3, he said, but I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve. The word beguiled is like seduction. So some people read into that, and then they come up with an idea about Eve, and it may or may not be true. I don't know if we can pin our head on it. But it says, the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. A lot of times we overlook the simple things, and that's what gets us in trouble. Growing up on the farm, you know, Dad, Ronnie, and I'd be working on equipment. Dad would say, Ronnie, go get this wrench, 9/16 wrench. I'd run to the barn, look high, look low, look high, look low. Go back, say, I can't find it. And then he would go back and, oh, right there it is on the workbench. Overlook the simple things. I heard about this lady that, I don't know if she was blonde, but I heard about this lady that had this key fob, you know, with a key, and the battery went out, and she couldn't unlock her car. She was so all panicked, I can't get in my car. And the guy that was helping her just took the key and put it in the thing, you know, turned it and opened the door for her. Sometimes it's simple things that we overlook. So something happened with Eve and Satan where he beguiled her, and this is about a sexual thing that is a technique that the devil uses to manipulate people, to influence them. And as we get to the show and tell, I kind of show you how that works. And so what we know in life, if you go back to Matthew 13, Jesus Christ prophesied these allusions. Okay, in Matthew 12, the children of Israel, the scribes and Pharisees, the leadership of the children of Israel, accused Jesus Christ of being Beelzebub. They said, "You're casting out devils by the devils because you're the devil." And when they did that, that was the unpardonable sin. So right there, that's when Israel became blinded as a nation. So in the next chapter, chapter 13, get the number 13. Okay, and so you have seven parables or seven mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus starts speaking now in parables. And a parable is a parallel story where a person who's humble, who tries to seek, he can pull truth out of plain sight. A person who's proud, it just goes over his head. And that's a design of God to check the hearts of people and how diligent we are in study. In Matthew 13, the very first parable is a parable of the sower and the seed. And it's about four different types of hearts that receive the word of God. Now, he explains this in detail to the apostles after the fact. He doesn't to the people. The second parable is a parable of the tares and wheat. Now, this one we want to look at. Being raised on a farm, this makes a lot of sense to me. So Matthew 23:24, Jesus Christ said this, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." So different seeds, you got to plant them by discretion, where you got to plant them, you know, deep enough or far apart enough. Soybeans are different than corn. Wheat is different than soybeans. Okay, so each seed has a different idea as far as it grows. And then it says, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." So tares are weeds. It's a weed is a counterfeit of the wheat. The tare is a counterfeit of the wheat. They're going side by side. For soybeans, the tare or the weed would be buttonweed or a velvet leaf. It looks like a soybean, but it's not a soybean. And a farmer can spot them like that. And so that's what he's telling. He said, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So when the crop is getting ready to harvest, okay, there's all the weeds that you missed. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, "Sirs, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field, and from whence them hath it tares?" He said unto them, "An enemy hath done this." The servants said unto him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" So should we pull the weeds now that the plants are real tall? But yet, if you pull the weeds now while the plant's getting ready to bear fruit, then you're going to pull the plant with it. So that's what he said. But he said, "Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root also up the wheat with them." And then Jesus said, "Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn." Now, doctrinally speaking, this is about Israel. And so when he first binds the tares in bundles to burn them, that's the second coming of Christ. And then when he gathers the wheat into my barn, that's the millennium, that's Israel. So you pick that up with that. But then he explains it in verse 37 in private to the disciples. So of the seven parables, he explains two of them in the text. Five he doesn't explain. And so we can understand the five he doesn't explain by going scripture with scripture. So let's read, if you would, with me the explanation of the tares and the wheat. In verse 37, he answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Jesus Christ, okay? The field is the world. That's what we're living on. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. So this, in this context, this would be real Jews and fake Jews in Israel. You have the true and the false side by side. We have the same thing going on in America. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Well, the harvest is the end of the world, so that you can go back either to the end of the tribulation or you can go to the end of the millennium, because history repeats itself. It's going to be doing the same thing. And so, and the reapers are the angels, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned into fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out the kingdom of all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and so forth, so on. Okay, the basic idea what we have here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is allowing truth and error in every area of life grow side by side. And somebody who is well-versed in that certain topic can spot the truth in the air. Other people are deceived by it. Okay, so that's where we're at. And this is all the confusion with Israel, the confusion with America. In America, if you get into the laws of America, you have truth and error side by side. And it's so subtle where the dollar bill used to be an S with two lines. And it's so subtle, now it's an S with one line. And there's a big difference. Okay, and a person has to take time to figure that out. It's a matter of real valued currency or fiat currency, fake currency. All of this has been, we are at the height of deception. Okay, now here's a book called The Age of Manipulation, The Con and Confidence of Sin and Sincere. And it shows the perverse aspect of many advertisements and how this influences people to buy a product. Okay, and I'll show you that in a little bit in the show and tell time. If you would go up to verse 33, and I want to explain this parable, even though Jesus doesn't explain it, but we can get it figured out by going scripture with scripture. So he said in verse 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Okay, leaven, anybody that makes bread, which is not me. Okay, leaven helps, you put it in with the dough and it helps it to expand and all that stuff. In the Bible, leaven is false doctrine. You can go to Matthew 16:6 to figure that out. We'll look at that verse a little bit later to verify that idea. So Jesus is saying here in this parable, okay, there's some leaven, and it says, which a woman took. Okay, a woman is a false church. The true church is a chaste virgin of Christ, 2 Corinthians 11. So a woman is the woman in Revelation 17, that harlot woman in Revelation 17. So this is not a good person. So this person, this woman is taking leaven and putting it in something. What is she putting it in? And hid 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The meal, if you take that back to Leviticus 2, that would be a meat offering. And the meal would be bread or a cake. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. So what do we get out of this parable? A woman, a false church, is putting false doctrine in Bibles back in the early days. Origen was the first clown that started doing this. And now today you have over 300 English Bibles that are loaded with false doctrine. There's one perfect, the wheat and the tares. Okay, and so this is how you discover and quickly understand deception in our day. Now, that's what Jesus said back then. We've got 2,000 years of history since. So don't you know, and the devil's got 6,000 years of history, if you go back with Adam and Eve, don't you know he has perfected his deception program, his illusions. Okay, now the way we overcome, okay, if you would go to Romans chapter 2, verse 17, John, or Paul warned us about this in Romans 2, 17. So I've got to kind of lay a little foundation here to see what's going on. In Romans 2, 17, verses 1 through 16, the words are addressed to Gentiles, virtually anybody. At verse 17, he focuses on the Jews, because the Jews were the ones at the time. So you see, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in law, makest the boast of God. So Jewish people, yes, they make their boast of God. They think they're above us. That's what Jewish people are. They think us goyims have no soul. They think we're like a dog. Okay, and if you want to feel that, experience that, go to Israel and you'll experience it. Okay, and he says, and knowest his will, they claim to know the will of God, approvest of things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes or babies, which, notice what he says, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. He didn't say you have knowledge and truth, a form of it, like a concrete form where you put up the the barriers of steel, or whether you're doing, or if you however you're making pouring some concrete, you have a form, you get the rebar inside. Inside the form, it's empty. Okay, and so this is a form of knowledge, but not knowledge. It is a form of truth, but not truth. It's the appearance of truth, but not truth. This is how all court systems work. It's all a court system. It's all appearance of truth, not truth. Okay, now for the church, where's the church at today? If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. As Paul warned about this to Timothy, and you can see in verse 1, he talks about the last days. So this is close to the time period where we're at. Specifically speaking, last days is tribulation. But still, we're at the latter times of the church. How do we know this? It's by the deception. Notice, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And when you discover that, from such with turn away. That's the, Papa Pizzeria in Rome right now puts on this all the garb, and the man of the cloth, he's got investments, Joanne Fabrics. And so he has a form of knowledge, but denies the power thereof. And Protestants are doing the same thing. They have the form of knowledge, but deny the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. Now, if you go back to the first, in Genesis 3, the first time a deception occurs, there are two major times where deception begins in the Old Testament and the New Testament. These are two lines of defense. It's like baseball. You have the infield, the outfield. In Genesis 3, somebody added, subtracted, or changed a word or words of what God said. That was with the first Adam. In Luke 4, at the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Satan, the master deceiver, tempted Jesus Christ. So there are two times in the Bible where there's a play-by-play account of this encounter of the third kind. Okay? Two times. Play-by-play account. You got the devil intermingled throughout the Bible, but not when he's actually in action. In the second one, you will see that one of the temptations, he misquotes scripture, he adds a word, changes a word, subtracts a word. Okay, so he goes to the first one. And of course, he's trying to deceive Jesus. Of course, it didn't work. Now, there's another thing that goes on in that passage where he said to Jesus, hey, would you turn these bread into stone, or these stones into bread? Now, maybe your little girl, when she starts making cookies, she turns some cookie dough into stones by cooking it too much. Okay, but this is the reversal where he said, turn these stones into bread. Now, that would not be a sin. He turned water to wine. That wouldn't be a sin. He also said, stand over here on the pinnacle of the temple and then step out there and defy the laws of nature. And that would not be a sin because Jesus walked on water. Okay, so what's the devil doing? He's taking something about the millennium, pulling it back to the first coming, trying to get Jesus to avoid Calvary. And so what Jesus did is he established a second line of defense, and that establishment was rightly dividing the word of truth. So I'll go through both of those at 4 o'clock. But still, rightly divided the word of truth. There are some things in the Bible that are addressed to Jewish people, some to Gentile, some to men, some to women. Some are time sensitive, some to the church. All the Bible is written for you, but some of it's not written to you. Okay, so that's, the Bible is like a mystery novel. It's a fascinating book. And once you get these techniques, it just pops off the page. Okay, but the illusions in life that we experience, the illusions regarding the Bible, are something that, I love exposing and everything as far as that goes, and it's relatively easy. But illusions in life are a little bit different. We all get hoodwinked sometime or another with the illusions of life. Politics, life, buying a car, buying something, buying property. There's illusions in life we have everywhere, and we all kind of get tricked by it, so maybe that can see it. I guess you can see that. Okay, so if you can count to 6 or 20, if you can count to 20, you got to really pay attention here. And so what we're going to look at is a video, and it's got 6 people in the video, 3 in white shirts, 3 in black shirts, and they each have a ball. And you're supposed to count how many times the people in white, I think it's okay, Jace, unless you want to hit the front row. The front row. You want to count how many times the girls in white throw the ball. So keep up on it and count it, and we'll see how well we do. You did it back once. How many did you count? 12? 16? Okay.
The correct answer is 16.
So if you got that right, pat yourself on the back. Jace, you could turn the lights back on, please. Well, just leave the front row off. So put the back one. Okay, did anybody see a gorilla? Okay, how many saw a gorilla? 1, 2. So, okay. That's a little less percentage than, yeah. At Rensselaer, I think 1 person saw it. You say, was there? This is what an illusion can do. Now, the ones that saw the gorilla, how many saw this video before? Aha, so a few of you saw it.
But did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game?
So there's 3 things that took place.
Let's rewind and watch it again.
What an illusion can do. See, it's often it's personal desires determine what you notice in life. If something is not relevant to your desires, you do not see it. Okay, now here's another idea. And this is the illusions that we often go through. This is a painting of 4 flowers. And this painting of 4 flowers, if you can see how the painting is, 2 flowers seem to be, you know, conversing, and then the other 2 flowers, it seems to be one is trying to shun the other. Okay, so that's the idea of what the flowers are doing. So you can see here in the flowers, this one and this one seem to be conversing, seem to be attracted. This one seems to be shunning this one. Do you see anything else in there?
Yeah, there's a bug.
Okay. Do you see something else in there? Look in white. There's a word in there. Once you see it, you can't get away from it. S-E-X. Satan beguiled Eve. Now, this book shows you a lot of these things. If you point these things out to people, they say, man, you're a pervert. I'm just pointing them out. Now, this is supposed to be illegal, okay? But it's done all the time, okay? And did you ever look at Starbucks logo the very first time when it came out? Naked mermaid. It goes back into Navy days. Now, this is Starbucks today. This is Starbucks back then. Here's a little closer viewpoint. There's later on. And if you turn her upside down, what do you see? You see a goat head?
Yeah.
You see, the devil knows this gets in our subconscious. Okay, and then what he'll do is use that subconscious to influence our buying things. This is done everywhere. It's everywhere. Okay, now, I don't know how you feel about that organization. Okay, if we start with Bible, okay, this organization, start with Bible. Who said he's going to exalt his throne above the stars of God? Okay, Lucifer. Who said they were going to build a tower that reached up to heaven? Genesis chapter 10, the 13th generation from Adam, Nimrod, 13th generation, going to build a tower up to heaven. God came down and changed their languages. So there's the two things that I personally already have a problem with this organization. Okay, now, they may or may not be good or bad, but what is this thing here, this vector? If I had put something like that, would it kind of be a little bit different? Now, if you watch these people, they have a $25 billion budget. And boy, you got a lot of money you can spend it to deceive, make illusions of space. Okay? In the 1960s, and you can look it up, one called Operation Dominic, the other called Operation Fishbowl. Dominic means of the Lord, Fishbowl, the Fishbowl of the Lord. And the Fishbowl one is they military sent up nuclear warheads to try to break something up there, and they exploded up there. They didn't go out into space. They exploded. Boom. That Operation Fishbowl. Okay, why? Because there's something they can't get through. Okay, and if you listen very closely to what these people say, every once in a while the cat will come out of the bag. But can you imagine, have you ever gone on a vacation, maybe forgot your camera and said, man, next time we got to bring the camera. But have you ever taken 6 vacations and forgot your camera each time? But under the Richard Nixon administration, some guys claim they've gone to the moon, Freemasons, and they forgot a camera each time. There's not one photograph of the globe. Not one. NASA admits that. In fact, the guy who was a graphic artist for the Blue Marble, Robert Simmons, admits it's all CGI. They admit that. That's not my admission, that's their admission. Okay, not only that, if you kind of watch some of the footage of the International Space Station, you know, some place, some Hollywood set somewhere, you'll see that they'll have hairspray and the woman's hair is sprayed straight up. And then they'll have harness wires to portray anti-gravity. And then they might have a large swimming pool where they're in the pool and they portray walking in space. But then if you look closely, you can see an air bubble go up. My sister went to Bob Jones University and she said they saw cosmonauts on film. And she said you could see the air bubbles. At that time, I thought, oh, really? I never heard of that. Oh, that's them. We wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, we would. You have $5 billion. Or $25 billion every year. I've heard 4 or 5 NASA employees say that they have never flown outside of low Earth orbit. I've heard them say that. You watch the rockets go up. You ever you recall watching rockets go up? What do? They go up like this. Yeah. Why do they go this way? Eric Carlson was out on the Atlantic Ocean on a ship when he was in the Navy. He said, they watched it. He said, we couldn't figure out, why is that thing going this way? Somebody's deceiving. You know, Curiosity is supposed to be on Mars. If you go up to Devon Island over there in Greenland, you'll probably find it. Just put a little red tint in the filming. Make it look like Mars. I mean, this is everywhere. They use blue screens and green screens just like Hollywood does. To depict things. Do you remember the China balloon? Helium. Who's the biggest purchaser of helium in our country? NASA is. Now, whether you like NASA or not, I don't really care. Okay, it's just I don't trust them. I don't trust any. You say, how do you know they're lying to you? Well, I think it's because their lips are moving. And they put on special contacts, and the contacts will show a computer image that should be in front of them. And the computer glitches. They'll be going like this, trying to move this hat that's supposed to be floating. And then the computer glitches. Where'd the hat go? Why do they have to do that? It's all deception, all illusions. They've perfected it. That's why I've said for the last few years that Biden is the actor in chief. I have no idea what's really going on behind the scenes. We really don't. But it's just amazing at what we're dealing with. Hollywood creates multitudes of illusions within the guise of entertainment. The news industry creates illusions every day to promote agenda. These two recent bombings, whether they happened or they didn't happen, I'm kind of looking over here. Right. Forget the bombing, because it's probably a diversion, doing something else. This has been going on for years. Education system promotes illusions of gender. Are you a boy? Are you a girl? Huh? Yeah. Are you a cat? If you're a cat, I'm a dog. Luke and I, we can fix cats. And so they have illusions of lifestyles. Pseudoscience. Pseudoscience is fake science. Science in the Bible is found twice. Daniel understood science. That's the right science. And then the Bible warns about science falsely so-called. That's Will Dye and Peel deGrasse Tyson and all those clowns. And Will Dye, he was a comedian before he was the science guy. He was down at Purdue a few years back. He had a big crowd of people coming to him. We stood in line with scripture signs. And I would say, Reverend Bill takes an offering before your religious service begins, folks. And we'd pass out gospel tracts to these people. And one guy said to me, are you here because of Nye, Bill Nye? I said, oh, yeah. He said, I love your style. I mean, the guy's deceiving these people. Just playing around, illusions. The intermingling of science and pseudoscience illustrates the wheat and the tares. So in the end times, beware of deception. I just want to close with reading several verses. A lot of these are come right from the Lord Jesus Christ. He warned his men, the apostles. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus Christ said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing, that's the illusion. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Okay, when you learn this, you can know what question to ask them to watch their teeth come out. The real, but then when you get the right question, I mean, you can see them come out. It's kind of funny. It's kind of comical. Especially when they're trying to play real cool and all this stuff. Okay, in Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus said, behold, he said this to his apostles, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpent, as harmless as doves. Beware of men. Beware of men. Well, that's quite a statement by Jesus. Matthew 16, verse 6. This is the verse that I mentioned about leaven being called false doctrine. Matthew 16, 6. It says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then he explains that in verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay, in Matthew 24, the apostles asked Jesus about the signs of thy coming, the signs of the end. The question is a three-part question, but the answer is the same for all three parts. And so one of the obvious signs of the closeness of the Lord's return is the deception that is massive in the world. You know, we're having a peaceful protest. Well, you got fire burning in the background. BLM, owned by four or five lesbos that were Marxist. and bought a $3 million house. What a hoot! What a gig they got on people. Okay, Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Wow, wow. Okay, then in Philippians 3, verse 2, you'll find this. Sometimes you may even have this sign on your house. Maybe if you go to somebody's house and you see, "Beware of dogs," tell them, "Hey, you got a Bible verse there. I didn't know you had a Bible verse in your house." Philippians 3, 2, "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision." Concision, I think, would be the fake Jews, most likely. And then in Colossians 2, verse 8, "Beware." This is what's getting the church today. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Christian psychologists. Now, you can learn a lot of things from psychology. You learn a lot of good things. You can learn a lot of good things from lost people. Sometimes the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. But what you got to do is you got to pull the truth out from the tares. And you got to be very... The reason why the Lord does this is to prove your sincerity. Amen. That's the purpose. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3... This is an idea before the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That's why the churches are in a mess the way they are. Okay, then 2 Peter chapter 3. Last one, 2 Peter chapter 3. This is an admonition from the first vicar of Christ, the first pope himself, if the Roman church is right, which I know they're not. They're not going to follow his advice. Because Peter says, you ought to read Paul's writings. That's what Peter said. But that's the last place they go. A guy about 500 years ago read a couple of verses in Romans 1 and Romans 1:17, "The just shall live by faith," started and sparked the Reformation. Man, what one verse to do. He was Roman Christian, Roman Catholic. He read Romans. That's what he should have been doing. And he had a reformation by he got down to verse 17. But they avoid that like a plague. Peter says you ought to read Paul. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul." Our beloved brother Paul. "Also according to the wisdom given unto him that written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood." The reason why is a lot of what Paul was given was kept secret for 4,000 years. The Jews didn't know anything about this. He showed it to Paul. "In which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as do they also the other scriptures under their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." All these pass about, beware, 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 beware. When I was in school, this kid sat next to me. His first name was John. His last name was Ware. His middle initial was B. John Beware. That was his name. This fellow I met out in Colorado is a guy who was a coach for another Christian school. His name was Rusty Fender. He had red kinky hair. That was his name, Rusty Fender. I mean, I don't know if it affected his life. It probably made him tough, you know, like a boy named Sue. Okay, but something like that. But the Bible says, beware, beware. And so the idea is all of us have succumbed to these illusions. And so, you know, if somebody gets succumbed by these illusions, you know, we don't need to stick our nose up in the air because we've all been affected by it. And these subconscious things, what that does, it gets in the subconscious of a person, then a spirit can manipulate a person. And that's the idea, you know, Starbucks. I'm not saying you're wicked if you go to Starbucks. We're not going to have an altar call. You know, don't go to Starbucks anymore. Don't drink coffee. Coffee is good for enemas. But even at that, I mean, I'm just telling you the symbolism that goes on. It took a while for some of you to get that one, didn't you? They are good for enemas. And so the idea is we need to be patient with each other. Because we've all succumbed to these things. But yet we need to be students and beware of things and notice things and ask God for wisdom and discretion. We live in a fascinating time. But deception is easier today to do than to convince somebody they've been deceived. Dare I go back to COVID? Yeah. I mean, the other thing, you know, we gave them benefit of the doubt for about a month, and then after that, forget this. Okay? And so, and mainly for testimony's sake, but even at that. But this is everywhere. It's evidence that Jesus Christ is true. Amen. He said that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be people that have our eyes open. You hide truth in plain sight. The devil hides truth in plain sight. The devil hides his deception in plain sight. Help us have eyes. Like the saying, which I probably should put on the marquee again, real eyes realize real lies. And I pray you'd help us to be people that have our eyes open to the illusions of life, and that we would be faithful to thee. And the worst illusion, of course, is salvation by grace through faith that people reject. The illusion of baptism, good works, the sacrament. It's a free gift in Jesus Christ. I pray that everyone in this room would know, would possess that free gift in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.